Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I ain't choose the rhyme. Rhyming chose me. So I hit the track running like a nosebleed. Life ain't great now, but it's much improved. Yo, album dropping this summer, that sucks for you, cause this is Bubba's moment. I put my mother on it, I said my mama is...
Yeah, Hawk and Crowder Show, 3 o'clock hour, big simulcast beginning. You're hearing us on 790 The Ticket, you're hearing us on 560 The Joe. If you switch stations, you cannot escape. Alex Dono alongside Zach Duarte. We got the great Dan Day on the other side of the glass, taking you up on various platforms until 6 o'clock. Remember, you have Miami Heat and Sacramento Kings basketball. That'll be a 5 o'clock tip-off, which means a 4 o'clock pregame on 790. So at 4 p.m., we will switch. We'll run down the hallway to the other studio, and we will be exclusively on 560 The Joe from 4 until 6 p.m. And starting later this hour, Zach, this is very exciting. We're going to be giving out the clues so that sometime in the 5 o'clock hour, someone will be registered for tickets to the big game. You know the game that I'm talking about. So
Can't say the words.
You can't, not when we're talking from a promotional sense,
nope,
right?
Can't do that.
If we're breaking it down, you know, styles, news, kind of promoting the matchup, you can say it. But when you're talking about giving something away or you're talking about a sports bar or something, you cannot say the whole SB thing. But the big game, we will be registering someone for tickets to that big game in South Florida, which I've heard Hawk say this before. That's one of the best prizes you can win on any radio station, right? Like, the idea of being able to win tickets to that game, that is the ultimate, man. That is the absolute ultimate. This is kind of a downer way to start the hour, but, man, I feel so terrible for Chandler Parsons from the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
So the law firm representing him came out with a statement today that he has suffered multiple severe and permanent injuries, including a traumatic brain injury, disc herniation, and torn labrum, career-threatening injuries suffered because he got hit by a drunk driver. I mean, that to me, it's terrible. It's terrible, man. I mean, you've heard about enough career-ending stuff that's happened off the court or off the field for athletes. Sometimes it's the athlete's fault. Sometimes it's not. But in this case, absolutely not Chandler Parsons' fault to think about your career potentially being taken away due to the idiotic criminal negligence of another person. It's a very, 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 very sad thing, and I'm sorry to hear that this is going on, man, and I hope that he does find a way to recover from these injuries to the point where he can play, even though the bigger question here is his quality of life, because you hope that is the first thing you address here before the idea of him playing basketball again, because anytime you see traumatic brain injury, it sounds frightening.
Yeah, it's a guy who hasn't really been on the radar the last few years. I did see him when I went to the Heat Hawks game. He was, you know, on the sidelines dressed up in a suit. But yeah, man, sad story. It's so weird how this kind of went under the radar for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You think this would be front and center, like, hey, Chandler Parsons is involved in an accident.
Yeah.
And no, it's been a few weeks since this happened. So best of luck to Chandler Parsons. And like you said, I think the most important thing is quality of life at this point.
Let's go over to Dan Day, hit up some headlines.
Alrighty, guys. The Super Bowl is set. Kansas City will play San Francisco February 2nd right here in Miami. Kansas City down the Titans 35-24, while the 49ers blew out the pack 37-20. The Chiefs are an early 1.5-point favorite.
And what do you think about that, Dan? Because my heart is leaning towards San Francisco because, to me, they're the better overall football team. Line of scrimmage on both sides, running game. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo doing a very nice job being the caretaker of that offense. He's doing what he has to do for that team to run over opponents. And you know Pat Mahomes is going to be under duress for the entire game. But yet, Pat Mahomes is the type of quarterback who can deal with that pressure with his escapability, with his ability to buy time for receivers to get open down the field and to make magical plays happen. That might be the one guy who is immune enough to San Francisco's defense to make game-changing plays. So I don't really know what to do with this one. I guess I'm kind of expecting San Francisco to win, but maybe in the Super Bowl, the better quarterback is going to win out. Well, what say you?
Yeah, superstars win championships, and Mahomes is my homie. I got him, and I got KC going and winning big.
Well, what say you, Zach?
Winning big.
Yeah. Mahomes, the guy throws passes off his knees and out of his butt. He's just throwing passes all over the place.
I think like a lot of people are prisoners of the moment when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Like, they had an okay regular season. I think Patrick Mahomes had 26 touchdown passes this regular season, if I'm not mistaken. I know he missed some time, had the dislocated kneecap.
Well, he had the knee injury that looked so much worse, and then it was like a miracle that he recovered within a couple
right.
weeks.
Right, so like he had a decent regular season. The Chiefs, I think, what, 12-4, nice regular season. But my God, did they get such an easy path to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
A bye week and a home game against the Texans and the Titans? No Patriots, no Ravens, nothing.
They had to come back down 24-0, though, against the Texans. That was
damn
impressive.
Get the 4 and the 5 seed?
Come on, Zach. Yeah. No cheap wins in the pros.
Okay. Yeah, didn't have to face the 1 seed. Didn't have to face the 3 seed.
The Titans did all their dirty work.
They get the 4 and the 5 seed at home. No, the 4 and the 6 seed at home? Give me a break.
No worries. They'll take care of San Francisco.
I think we're prisoners of the moment here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's all up over the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, the San Francisco Packers just punched Green Bay in the mouth.
That's the thing about it. San Francisco scares me, man. They really do. And I'm not going to have a problem either way. Like, I guess the millennial side of me is pulling me a little bit towards the flashy Pat Mahomes. Although I got to tell you guys, I already have a few like anti-Andy Reid propaganda tweets saved in drafts to talk about him choking in big. I had a couple ready for yesterday because if he had lost yesterday, would have been 1-6 in conference championship games. So maybe my anti-Andy Reid agenda would be better served by a San Francisco victory. But I do enjoy watching Pat Mahomes out there dealing. But wouldn't a 49ers victory be a victory for the Duarte types, the older school, and you're younger than me, in fact, but you have that like older school football mentality that you enjoy watching the smash mouth type teams win games.
Well, here's the thing. I'm watching this from such a weird dynamic. I'm watching this and I'm rooting for the coaches here. Like Kyle Shanahan had one of the most epic collapses in NFL history a few years ago because he wouldn't run the ball. And like, what does he do now? All he does is run the ball.
Yeah, maybe people... You know, it was in real time, like not game time, obviously, but in real time, an hour and a half last night elapsed without Garoppolo attempting a pass. Threw
right.
8 times in the game, didn't throw the entire third quarter.
He didn't, and that's what he didn't do in the Super Bowl when they were up 28-3. They had the ball like the 30-yard line with, I don't know, a quarter left to go, and like, nope, pass, and they ended up punting that possession instead of kicking the field goal, which would have put them up 28 points, and we all know how the rest of the story goes. But I'm rooting for Andy Reid, man. 21 years as a coach. No Super Bowls, you know?
I like watching him choke. I don't know why. I'm terrible.
Why?
I'm a terrible person. I don't know, because it's funny.
Why are you so mean to Andy Reid, man?
I don't know. Because he looks like
Andy
a
Andy Reid's a great coach, man.
He seems like a nice guy.
I hope he wins the Super Bowl.
What else we got, Dan?
The Heat look to rebound tonight against the Kings at home after losing yesterday to the Spurs 107-102.
I mean, 18-1 at home. I think the Heat will get it today. 3 out of the last 5 games they've dropped. They've blown leads on the road. They haven't defended very well. I'm not too worried about today, but I do think recent play is a sign that, you know, this team is probably a little bit more flawed than you thought they were two, three weeks ago, right?
Yeah, like you said, 3 out of the last 5 games they've lost. They're 5-5 in the last 10, and on the road, they're 3-6 in the last 9. And all those 6 losses are to teams under .500. But the Heat, I think they start a 5-game homestand today. Is it Sacramento, Washington, the Clippers, Orlando, and Boston? So we'll see if the Heat are still, only have 1 loss after these next 5 games. But, I think the Heat, they're a great team. I've had this discussion a lot on my show as of late because I came out with a tweet after the Heat lost to the Nets, talking about how the Heat are not a great team.
Is that when you were fighting with Heat Twitter for like 48 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw my boy Solana was pissed.
Yeah, and then the next day they lost to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, what you're watching is it's a trend,
yeah.
and it's trending in the wrong direction. You can't just ignore it. Oh, well, the Heat, nobody expected them to be here. No, no, no. I'm like, well, they're here now. The expectations have changed, and if you're in that locker room, you're not saying to yourself, well, we didn't think we were going to be this good, so it's okay. You know, if you're in that locker room and you're Jimmy Butler and you're 31 years old and you have a team that could finish in the top two or three in the Eastern Conference, you're saying, I can compete for a championship. We are close.
Yeah.
What do we need? And the Heat clearly need somebody who can bang down low and get rebounds. Even last night against San Antonio, like, offensive rebounds killed them in the fourth quarter. And one of the big guys that I've been keeping my eye on is LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, sure.
Because he, first of all, he's shooting from the three this year like he's never shot before in his life. Not only attempts, but percentage-wise as well. But he's a big guy. He can bang down low. And contract expires after next season.
Let's get it, Pat. Pat, let's swoop in. What else we got, Dan?
The Panthers look to extend their four-game win streak as they get back into action tonight in Minnesota against the Wild. The puck drops at 8.
Four straight wins, Zach. Are you ready to start respecting the Panthers?
Hell
because
I admit it,
you've triggered me a lot in person and on social media with your Panthers disrespect. Cats are in playoff position at the moment. They've won four straight games. They can make it six straight before the All-Star break. Jonathan Huberdeau's an All-Star. He's been playing fantastic this year. Are you ready to start respecting the Panthers?
Can I ask you a question, Dono?
Yeah,
how many games above 500 are the Panthers right now?
I don't have the record in front of
me.
Well,
I'm going to read you their record. Okay. You tell me how many. They're 26, 16, and 5.
So they're 10 games over
500? No! That's incorrect! You're part of the problem!
You say they're 10 games over 500?
No! No!
When you're talking overtime losses.
It's a loss!
But you get a point for those.
Hold
it's like a tie.
Hold
you
on.
Get a point.
Let me go to Dan Day. Dan Day, you're Jonathan Huberdeau, right? The Panthers have played 47 games this season, right?
And they've got games in hand compared to all the teams
in
front of them.
47 games this season. 26 of them, they've left the arena feeling great about themselves. How many times have they left the arena feeling bad about themselves because they lost?
Jury's still out on that
21!
One. You're making a strong case,
21!
Zach. You're making a strong case.
Dan, they're 10 games over 500. Don't worry about this.
You're
clown.
The problem.
They're 10 games.
You're
part
of
the problem.
You're part of the problem. They are not 10 games. They have lost 21 games.
They're going to be in the playoffs. Don't you worry
about it. They better.
I don't know how far they go, but they will be in the playoffs. If they're going to go far, they need Sergei Bobrovsky to start looking like Vezina Trophy Sergei Bobrovsky, but they'll get in.
Dude's one game over 500, Bobrovsky.
He's not having a great year.
No,
I'll admit,
he's
that's
terrible.
Been puzzling to me.
And he's terrible.
I don't know if that's
Give me
just,
Drieger all day, baby.
Drieger's been good when he's been
Drieger's
out there.
Drieger's been great.
Yeah, Drieger got hurt.
Of course he gets hurt, though.
it's hard being the king, man. Yeah, and it was a non-contact thing too, from what I could tell. I just saw him like all of a sudden was favoring the groin the other night at the arena. That was tough. And now they're 10 games over 500, bro. Don't worry about it.
By the way, why do the Panthers always have games in hand, Dono?
For some reason, I don't know why.
You know what I'm
Every
talking about,
year,
right?
No, I do know what you're talking about. For some reason, they always have like more days off in October and November than anybody. And then they've got
so
like
weird,
a they've
man.
Got a heavy schedule like after Christmas. I don't know why.
Every
I have no
time
idea
I look,
why.
The
but if you notice, like if you follow them early in the year, like when you're around like Thanksgiving, they played like four games less than everybody. I don't know. I have no idea why, but they always have games in hand.
Well, there are teams right now who have three or four more games played than the Panthers.
It's crazy.
It's odd. Every time you look at the schedule, at this time of the year, for the last 10 years, they always have games in hand.
But as we all know, games in hand are guaranteed victories, so I don't worry about these Panthers.
Not true.
I don't worry about these Panthers. Anything else, Dan?
I think you got
a question for me, Dono, about the day spa, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Are there any happy endings today in the day spa?
Always.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay, well, we were talking to Clay Ferraro earlier about ketchup flavored chips in Canada. Get a hold of this north of the border. The University of British Columbia in Vancouver has
Columbia
in Vancouver has canceled its annual snowball fight due to too much snow.
Ooh. What?
Yeah.
You would think that'd be the best snowball fight ever.
Said too much snow, cancel the snowball fight.
Now, Zach, we're South Florida kids. You ever had a good snowball fight?
I mean, you know, I've been to Iceland like 6 times.
Oh,
right?
That's right. So there actually is ice over
there. I was just
huh?
in Sweden. So.
I didn't. So, but yeah, but you're also a grown man. So you're telling me you went over there, you had snowball fights?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah, with myself.
I had one snowball fight when I was, I was on like a family trip. I was like, you know, maybe 13. My sister was like 17, and I challenged her to a snowball fight. And I remember learning from that apparently when Napoleon used to get into snowball fights when he was a kid, he would really be like a real D-bag and would dip them in water so they'd like freeze and turn into ice balls. I did that, and I gave like my sister like a big like a red bump on her head because I chucked a frozen snow. That was my last snowball fight.
Somebody has a Napoleon complex, clearly.
Certainly do.
Yeah.
Happy endings for everyone. Ah.
Oh, man. By the way, I feel like this person is really just talking to me and not Zach, but a texter writes in at 67974. You guys ever going to admit that Tannehill has what it takes, or will you just keep trying to save face by saying he didn't have to do much with Henry in the backfield?
No, I know you're not talking to me.
I know he's not talking to you. Listen, Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is good enough to make plays and manage games when there are enough quality pieces around him. And by the way, I also think Ryan Tannehill benefited from a change of scenery, right? Because sometimes you need to go someplace else for your mental and physical sake, go to a different team and start over. I don't know if Tannehill had stayed in Miami, especially not with the way they've handled the rest of the roster. I don't know if Tannehill had stayed in Miami, would he be doing the things here that he's doing in Tennessee? He probably benefited from a change of scenery. So, no, if you're asking me to come out and say, I wish we had never gotten rid of Ryan Tannehill, you're not going to get that from me because I think both sides are benefiting from this mutual divorce. And I just hope the Dolphins get it right in finding their next great quarterback. Now, if they get it wrong and we're in the mud for another 10, 15 years, you can go back at me and say, oh, what if we'd held on to Ryan Tannehill and signed him to another contract? But I think as of right now, I perfectly stand by my point that Ryan Tannehill moving on from the Dolphins and the Dolphins moving on from Ryan Tannehill, although they're paying more than half of his salary still, I think moving on from each other was the right move for both sides.
You know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play in the Super Bowl, and on his way to the Super Bowl, he threw for a whopping 208 yards?
In both games leading up?
On his way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 208 yards.
I could have done that. Well, probably not.
Like,
not literally.
People, you know, you don't realize you don't need to have a quarterback. And we keep using this one. We don't need to have Aaron Rodgers, dude's won one Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, how many Super Bowls has Tom Brady won? 7?
Tom Brady's won 6. But if you wanna break down each and every single one of them, not that great in Super Bowls.
The first couple were more on the defense.
Well, last year was not on Tom Brady.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
13-3.
Last year was on the defense.
Dude made one play, throw to Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, we can sit here and have this discussion all day long. Ryan Tannehill can get you to a Super Bowl if Jimmy Garoppolo can.
Remember, the Dolphins were paying him basically a max salary, though. Another reason why it's better to move on from the guy. I mean, you're tying up so much money.
$19 million wasn't a max salary.
I thought he was over 20 this year.
He was at 19, I think.
Well, either way, it's a lot of money to play for a guy who's barely above average.
Okay. I mean, how much is Garoppolo getting paid right now?
I think more than that.
Yeah. Again, like, you can have an average quarterback and win. Just,
I'd rather have a good quarterback and win.
I'd rather, too, but good quarterbacks don't win every year. Drew Brees has won Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl. Peyton Manning had one until he won one with a noodle arm.
That was a noodle arm, a wet noodle.
It was on the back of one of the greatest defenses we've ever seen.
Texture writes in, Brady is coming to South Florida. We'll play with Flores. Well, think about it from Tom Brady's side. Is this where you would want to go? I mean, aside from the fact that Miami is an awesome place to live, right? Do you really want to go to the team that's rebuilding their roster for a number of years? Like, no, he's going to want to look for a team that's ready to win now. 67974 is how you get us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, the double Ds. Oh, go ahead, Zach.
Jimmy Butler's out for tonight.
Oh, he is?
Yes. Hip soreness.
Oh, great. He and Tua got the iron hips. We continue.
No longer a guaranteed win tonight.
God, we continue here on the big simulcast, 790 The Ticket and 560 The Joe. Alex Dono and Zach Duarte in for Hawk and Crowder. Big simulcast. We're going to give out the big game clue in a second. Remember, we gave you a clue in the 3 o'clock hour, the 4 o'clock hour, and then in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to play the cue to call for your chance to get some tickets to the big game. This is a fantastic prize. And people have been asking me, Zach, since from 4 to 6, we're going to only be on 560 The Joe because we have Heat pregame and then the Heat-Kings game here on 790 The Ticket. We're simulcasting right now. We'll be only on The Joe from 4 to 6. We're still going to use the 790 phone numbers for the contest just for consistency's sake. So our guy Dan Day, who is only 123 pounds soaking wet, so he's got the stamina. I've heard he can do things for days. I don't know what those things are. But he's going to have to like run back and forth between the Joe Studios and the 790 The Ticket Studios to answer the phones and get the winner. So he's going to be all over the place. Okay, a lot of people want to win tickets to the big game. Jersey Mike's, Pepsi, and Lay's have some tickets to give away. So keep listening here for your chance to win, courtesy of Pepsi. So we're going to give you a clue right here for the 3 o'clock hour, another clue in the 4 o'clock hour, and then you take those clues, figure out which big game we're talking about, and then you listen for the sounder in the 5 o'clock hour, which is going to be your cue to call. Now, this is not your cue to call, but Dan, can you play the sounder so people know what to listen for in the 5 o'clock hour? Dan, can you do me a favor? Oh, it's not even done yet. Can you send me like the MP3 of that so I can make that my ringtone? Because that is so good.
Yeah, 11 times "Oh No" from Bob Greasy because it's the 11th Super Bowl in Miami. I love it.
I love that. I can listen to that all day. So don't call now. That wasn't the cue. But in the 5 o'clock hour, you will hear that as the cue to call. So here's your big game clue for this hour. This big game was the first time a big game had been played in Florida, but outside the city of Miami. That's your clue. Maybe you already know the answer. Maybe you need the 4 o'clock clue as well. Regardless, keep that in your back pocket. Make sure you keep listening. So the next clue will come up in the next hour. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, if you know which big game we are talking about, be the first caller to 786-360-0790 with the correct answer. And you will automatically get a $50 gift card to Jersey Mike's, which is an awesome prize. And you'll be entered into the drawing for two tickets to the big game courtesy of Pepsi. So real quick, one more time, the clue for this hour. This big game was the first time a big game had been played in Florida outside the city of Miami. Now, don't give it away, but do you know which big game that is by the clue, Zach?
I mean, not off the top of my head. I think I know what research I would need to do to get the answer, though.
Yeah. I don't know either. I'm not enough of a historian, although I will admit that like throughout the 90s, I spent so much damn time just watching like the all-day NFL films, like marathons on ESPN Classic and wherever else they showed it. Like I used to always sit and watch like the whole recap of, you know, of like the 70s Oakland Raiders and then, of course, the 72 undefeated Miami Dolphins because I wasn't around for that. Neither were you. I don't think Dan Day might be 60. I'm not sure. He might be 19 or he might be 60. I don't know if he was around for the 1972 perfect season, but most of what I know about the 72 season was from watching hours of NFL films documentaries like in the early 90s as a kid. That's mostly what I know about Earl Morrow playing most of the year, but Bob Greasy coming back. So, you know, Larry Zonka dominating. So, man, I am somewhat a historian of the game, but a lot of times, like, the years and the locations get mixed up for me.
Yeah, and I think I don't think a lot of people are going to know that question off the top of their head, right? That's very precise information to know. But, you know, if you know what research to do, it's one or two Googles away. So
Absolutely. 67974 if you want to get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text or drive. Alex Dono and Zach Duarte in for Hawk and Crowder today. You know, we're awaiting some kind of a resolution on this transfer portal with De'Aaron King, the quarterback from Houston, who Yesterday was reported, Manny Navarro had a report that he had notified Miami coaches he was coming to the U to play quarterback. And listen, I'm certainly not saying that just bringing in one quarterback is going to make Miami a national title contender or anything like that. But people do need to understand that this kid's really good, really talented, and he can play in an up-tempo spread offense. In fact, I've seen some places that have him listed as like on the, you know, the the long list of players.
Isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. He's even being listed as a potential Heisman candidate for the 2020 season. Like, he's thought that highly of. So this is a guy who could make a difference if he does come to Miami. But then Fox Houston sports anchor Mark Berman reported yesterday that King texted him, and he's still weighing his options. He's undecided. Here's what Mark Berman tweeted. This is the quote from De'Aaron King. Arkansas, I'm still talking to those guys. And then asked about LSU, he said, I'm still talking to them. Says he's also still planning to visit Maryland and expects to make his decision next week. Actually, next week probably means this week, because I think this quote came out on Sunday. It's tough, he said. I'm trying to find the right place to go to. Now, if it really does end up being Miami, and he chooses Miami over schools like LSU and over a school like Arkansas with that SEC money and SEC resources, what do you think it would be for King? Because I always, and people I talk to, like I did a show with Brian Monroe earlier this week, and he basically said that someone's going to drop a bag full of cash on this guy's doorstep, and it's going to be hard for Miami to compete with that. If he were to choose Miami, do you think it's because he wants to be in the city? Do you think he really thinks that highly of a Rhett Lashley offense? Because it's hard to think a team that just went 6-7 this past year would be his choice over someone in the SEC. Like, I'm wondering what the factors would be that would bring him to South Florida.
Well, you could definitely see how the city of Miami would be a factor that would bring him to South Florida.
Probably heard about that party culture in the quarterback room. He wants to be a part of that.
I mean, I don't know the kid personally. Like, what matters most importantly? Is it lifestyle, quality of life? Is it chances at getting looks at the NFL? You know, you think all those things factor in. But this is a kid who had a wildly successful, I think it was junior season. Or could have, like, I don't know if it's like a fifth year senior or whatever the hell he is.
Yeah, grad transfer. Yeah, and it was weird because they shut his season down last year.
He shut it down
in time for the red shirt, and a lot of people like in Houston and college football were kind of turned off by that.
Yeah, and it was a big story when it happened. So I remember who the kid is, but they were 1-3 at the time. So how important is winning to him? Look, you always think of. A team like LSU could be a big potential threat. I think Georgia already got the transfer quarterback from Wake Forest.
Yep, they did.
So I don't know how important what is to his decision-making process, but you always got to feel confident that it being Miami gives you a leg up, right? But I don't know the kid personally, and if he did indeed already make his decision, then I would say that the city of Miami had a big factor into it because he came here for a visit. If that's the truth and already committed. But from what we know, that may or may not be the truth.
Yeah, and I don't even think if it wasn't for bringing in Lashley and switching to the type of offense Miami is going to be adopting next year, I don't even think he would have been anywhere near in the hunt for this kid because he wouldn't fit, you know, the pro style. So I'm sure that whatever visit he had with Lashley probably had a lot to do with it. Maybe he's confident this would be the type of offense that could really, really showcase his skills. I mean, as far as the conflicting reports, you know, we touched on this a little bit in the 2 o'clock hour. I certainly don't think that him seeing Manny Navarro report it would have changed his mind in any way. Because some Canes fans are going after Navarro, like, oh, how dare you jump the gun with the report? You're going to convince him to go somewhere else. I don't think that's a factor here. If his mind was really made up, a reporter is not going to change his mind by scooping him. But I do think it's a possibility that De'Aaron King wanted to be able to announce this his own way, and seeing some reporter scoop him may have said, well, I want to maybe wait another day to announce it myself, and I'm going to tell, you know, the Houston reporter who contacts me, I haven't made up my mind yet because I want to make this announcement my own way.
I think Miami's just that kind of town. As a 21-year-old kid, you come here, you have the time of your life, you see the weather, and you automatically fall in love and say, I'm going to Miami. And then when reality kind of sinks in, you're like, whoa, I might have been a little too hasty. I was kind of caught up in the moment.
Yeah. Could have been.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely see that type of scenario. But I think there's a lot of credence to what you said there, Donald. There may be a... some type of situation where he wants to make his own announcement and didn't want it to be ruined by the media. And I'm not saying that Manny Navarro ruined anything. I'm just saying it's a big moment for the kid, and he might have wanted to announce it on his own, and that could be the situation here. But this again, like we talked about this last hour, I just roll my eyes at these stories. I'm so tired of recruiting stories because you can never believe, and even if they sign pen to paper, like,
right.
You know, you've heard of recruits like backing out of their national letter of intents. Like, nothing really matters anymore when it comes to the world of college recruiting. Your word means nothing. Word means nothing.
Now, I think we're going to know probably by the end of the night tonight, one way or the other, whether this could really happen, because all indications are he wants to be a part of his new team before spring football. Like, he wants to be eligible to go through spring practice, and the deadline at Miami is tomorrow, right? Like, he has to be on campus, registered, enrolled in classes by tomorrow. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to participate in spring ball. And the deadline at LSU gives him two more days. So if he doesn't turn up in Coral Gables by tomorrow, that gives you a pretty good idea. You might see him turn up in Baton Rouge because he has until Thursday to enroll there. Miami's deadline is tomorrow, the 21st of January. The deadline at LSU is not until the 23rd of January. So if you don't hear about this, like him flying to Miami by the end of the night tonight, it's probably not going to happen. Texter writes in at 67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Well, he's probably just using Miami to get those bags a little bit more filled from some of these SEC schools.
Could be.
I mean, you hear about that in recruiting, I'm sure, as well.
100% true. You hear that a lot from Brian Monroe and Rashad Butler.
Yeah, you throw something
and
out there.
You saw it on the national championship field.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Odell Beckham
did.
Just handing these guys money.
I love, like, that to me was one of my favorite stories of the past week. And it wasn't just, I mean, what a night that was for OBJ, because it wasn't just giving the cash handshakes or the cash high fives. He also slaps the butt of the cop, and then there were charges initially, and they dropped the charges. Like, you want to talk about an eventful night in the life of Odell Beckham. He found a way to make that national championship game all about himself between handing out the cash and slapping the cops. But I still wonder, like, why were there even police officers in the locker room for a championship celebration?
It was a security guard.
Security guard. But I thought it was a police officer, the one he slapped on the ass. Like, I've never seen that in a championship celebration before. And they're getting on Joe Burrow for smoking a cigar. The whole thing is a disaster, man. 67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We continue. Dono and Duarte, Double D, is in for Hawk and Crowder here on the big Hawk and Crowder simulcast. Got Triple D's, Dono, Duarte, and Day with you here on the Hawk and Crowder simulcast. I don't know why it just blew my mind. I didn't realize that
me neither.
Dan Day would be the third D to the Triple D. I've been calling us Double D's, Dono and Duarte. We also have
Triple D's doesn't
really quadruple D's. Dono, Duarte, Dan Day, four D's, quadruple D's.
Doesn't Double D's have more of a sexual connotation to it?
Well, Triple D's would be like, you ever seen Total Recall?
Yes.
The three, you know, triple that. Those were triple D's.
Yeah, but like also how many people listening to this show will get that reference?
That's a great question. We'll do a straw poll on the text line, 67974. If you've ever seen, I haven't seen the remake, so I would assume they also had like the three boobs in the remake as well. But I've seen the original Total Recall many times. Have you seen the movie Total Recall, yes or no? 67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I mean, anybody who's seen it knows what I'm talking about when I bring up the triple D's. It was one of the greatest scenes in cinema history, I would say. It was up there with, like, anything from The Godfather. The triple D's was fantastic. So you start to see this more and more. I was just on USA Today, some of the sports pages. PatriotsWire.com is discussing this. The case for Tom Brady signing with the Dolphins or the case against Tom Brady signing with the Miami Dolphins. We're both Dolphins fans. A lot of Dolphin fans listening. Do you want Tom Brady, like this version of Tom Brady, given the Dolphins are going young everywhere? You already have your bridge quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Certainly not comparing Fitz to Brady, but you do have already a bridge quarterback in place before the transition to a younger quarterback. Like, do you want 42-year-old Tom Brady coming to Miami? Maybe you just wanted to stick it to Belichick or stick it to the Patriots fans. But like, if we had this conversation 1 year ago or 2 years ago, yeah, I'd say, oh, let's get Brady still in the prime. I don't think I'd go out of my way to sign 42, soon-to-be 43-year-old Tom Brady.
Such an odd place where we are in our fandom, right? Where a lot of us, I think, are going to be on the same page where we're going to say, no, we don't want Tom Brady to be the quarterback. But it's like every counter argument I think of, I'm like, yeah, but Tom Brady.
Well, you know, I think there are probably a lot of Dolphin fans out there who are just so anti-Brady that they just couldn't wrap their heads around signing the enemy. That's not really where I am on this. Like, for me to say I wouldn't want to sign Tom Brady, it's not because I despise Brady. It's just because 42 years old, no longer at his peak, I just don't see why the Dolphins need to go sign that guy right now is what I'm saying. But let me give you a brief couple of snippets here from this piece at PatriotsWire.com, the case for Brady signing with the Dolphins. Although a barren roster, they write, Miami will have roughly $91 million of cap space this offseason. I think it's even more than that, by the way, but that's according to Over the Cap. Miami also has four picks of the top 40 picks in the upcoming NFL draft, including three first-round picks, already equipped with a finally playing up to their par ex-receiver in Devontae Parker. The Dolphins also have an up-and-coming tight end in Mike Gesicki. Technically, they say the Dolphins could bring in the likes of A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, and or Danny Amendola to appease Brady while also trading one of their first-round picks for someone like Odell Beckham Jr. or Stephon Diggs on a cap-strapped Minnesota Vikings team. So that's part of their case for Brady signing in Miami. The case against, it says, signing with an AFC East rival of the Patriots, although are they really a rival at this point? Well, they do beat New England once a year. That's a good thing. Means Brady would have to see Bill Belichick and his old squad two times a year. And although that sounds like something that competitive Brady would like, they write, the GOAT would be banking on Miami's extravagant offensive makeover to pan out, as we've seen with other offseason champion teams. All talent does not mesh. So honestly, I think there's a stronger case for Brady not coming here than coming here, because the other thing is, when they talk about spending all that cap money on these veteran or older players that they listed there, is that really the way I want the Dolphins to build it? Because I would rather focus on building young, not going out and signing all the flashy receivers and players.
Yeah, I mean, you said you're trading picks now for wide receivers that you're going to have to pay top dollar for. Is Tom Brady going to mentor a young quarterback? He's also probably going to play on an offensive line that is bottom half of the league, I would say, at this point, unless the Dolphins are spending big money or investing all their first-round picks in offensive linemen. I don't see how all that comes together. I think that Miami, they tore it down to the bare bones, and they've already started the process of rebuilding the foundation. And you've already started that process without Tom Brady. And it feels weird to say, like, no, I don't want Tom Brady on this team.
Yeah.
But it comes, and if you asked me a year ago, I would have said yes.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
But it comes from a place of, like, this doesn't make sense for Tom Brady, and it doesn't make sense for the Miami Dolphins, besides sticking it to the Patriots, for him to come here. Like, it just, I think there's a lot of other spots and destinations that make more logistical sense for Tom Brady than Miami does.
Like, I don't even see any reason why he would want to stick it to the Patriots. Like, I guess I could at least understand why, you know, a decade ago Brett Favre wanted to stick it to the Packers, because he didn't like the way that they handled the transition from him to Aaron Rodgers. Like, he kind of got forced out of there. I could understand why he had a chip on the shoulder. The Patriots have done the opposite. Like the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo away just to make Tom Brady happy. Like, that franchise has bent over backwards to allow Brady to be the captain of the ship, in some cases even over the head coach legend Bill Belichick. Like, Brady has been the guy they have bent over backwards to appease, so I don't see why he would twist it in his mind like he needs to stick it to the Patriots. So I think at the end of the day...
Yeah, but these guys are always looking for an edge.
Yeah.
Remember a couple years ago, Julian Edelman printed out the T-shirts, like...
About everyone doubting them.
Yeah. Like, they're always looking for an edge, and they would take whatever edge they could get, and Tom Brady would be like, listen, man, I brought you six world championships, I'm the most successful quarterback of all time, and I should be able to go out when I want to go out. And I think he would absolutely take that edge every time he sees the New England Patriots. Hopefully not the way that Aaron Rodgers has an edge against the 49ers, because I think he's 0-3 against the 49ers.
Yeah, they got his number.
In the playoffs.
By the way, I love some of these answers on the text line on whether or not people have seen Total Recall, and they get the reference on the 3 Ds. A text writes in, Well, no, I haven't seen it, but I am enough of a sexual deviant to know about the 3Ds. So there you go. If you haven't seen the full movie, you've probably seen the clip. And I think there are a couple of other movies like that, that if you haven't seen the whole movie, you've probably seen a select clip. Fast Times at Ridgemont High comes to mind, that if you haven't seen the whole film, you've probably seen the scene. And Basic Instinct comes to mind, that if you haven't actually watched the entire movie from start to finish, you've probably seen like the certain part of that movie that everybody talks about.
What about Gone Girl?
That I know the scene you're talking about. I actually really enjoyed that whole movie.
That movie was great.
It was a really good movie.
But the sex scene in that one was nuts.
Woo.
Nuts.
And there was you remember True Detective season one? There were a couple of very large D's in that as well.
Yes.
The first season.
I don't remember what you're talking about, though. It was so long. It was like 5 years ago.
I wouldn't pull it up on the work computer, but maybe at some point. Okay. Some point after hours.
Nothing works around here anyways.
We'll review the tape at some point. Another texter writes in, of course I've seen it. It got me through my teen years. Oh, man. A lot of people saying the remake was horrible. I have a very strict no remake policy. Like, I do not watch when they remake some of my favorite films. Like, they... You know, when they remade Total Recall, a lot of people said the Karate Kid remake was actually good, the one with Jackie Chan and Will Smith's kid.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
But I purposely boycotted because I do not like the idea of remakes. Like, they remade Point Break. Like, they've remade certain films that I just feel like you do not touch. Like, they remade the movie Carrie a few years ago. And not like the original is one of my favorite movies, but I appreciate it as a classic. I'm not going to go see the remake. I have a very strict no remake policy. You cannot pay me to see a remake. Well, maybe you can.
I hated it one day, and I'm using air quotes here, remade Jumanji, although they're calling it a sequel. It was so dumb.
Oh, dude, I actually did see that. It was pretty good.
Well, I don't care if it was pretty good. The first one was epic. Leave it alone.
You know, I thought the first one with Robin Williams kind of overrated.
Oh, you suck.
I really didn't like the first one that. It came out when I was in like fifth or sixth grade. I didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, but it was that great.
I thought the one with The Rock was better.
No, it wasn't. It was so dumb. Well, you got three lives. Bling! Like, so dumb.
Oh, man. Remember when the Chiefs signed an old-ass Montana coming off 2 years of not playing, and he only took them to the AFC Championship game? All right, so maybe the texter's saying Tommy Brady could have that effect on the Dolphins.
Yeah, remember when Greasy threw for 34 yards and got to the Super Bowl team?
I remember having like an argument with somebody who's about my age who also did not see the games live in the 70s who was trying to argue with me that Bob Greasy, not Dan Marino, is actually the number one quarterback in Dolphins history because he's got two championships. And it was like trying to argue with this person, banging my head into a brick wall when I'm trying to explain Bob Greasy was throwing 7 passes in a game and winning a Super Bowl. Like, Dan Marino was doing everything by himself. Like, it hurt me. It hurt me to have that argument, but I had to have it. No, oh, man.
You're never going to convince a person filled with common sense that Greasy was better than Dan Marino. Yeah.
He did get it done, though, twice.
Great. With one of the best defenses of all time.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is about to do the same thing. Yeah. So Jimmy Garoppolo literally attempted 8 passes yesterday and won the NFC Championship. What over-under do you put on in the Super Bowl? How many passes will he attempt? Not complete. How many passes will Jimmy G attempt?
The Chiefs are going to put up some amount of points. So I don't know. I'll say 22.
Oh, wow. See, I would go like over under 18. So you would go over in that scenario.
I'll go, yeah, over.
All right. So remember, we're going to have another clue for the big game giveaway coming up. But for the next 2 hours, we will be exclusively on 560
pack
The Joe.
Up and move.
Miami Heat pregame coming your way next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.